Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. The Fan Upstate, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. The Hub City Spartanburger text line is open at 844-326-3663. 844-326-3663. Shoot us a text. We'll read it on the air. The same is true to call in and get on the air. 844-326-3663. Your reactions to a multitude of topics that we are discussing so far this morning. The House v. NCAA settlement was passed on Friday, approved by Judge Claudia Wilkin. We have entered the new era of college athletics. What does that mean? What do you think will be the results of it? We've talked about that. We will continue to do so moving forward. NBA Finals game number two goes the way of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and it wasn't particularly close. Was this the beginning of the end for the Pacers? I've made the argument, no. This is a team that has lost at least one game by 15 points in every playoff series so far. I see no reason to push the panic button just yet. Your thoughts on that? NHL Stanley Cup game number three, Florida-Edmonton. Both have a win in hand. Edmonton took game one in an overtime thriller. Florida got it back in game two with a double overtime thriller. We're going to talk about that coming up in a few minutes, and more. Actually, I would like, you know what? I want to bring something up about that right now. Because this Florida team's really interesting to me. Now, as a fan, Florida is a team that I traditionally would not be a big fan of. Because they're a bully ball team. And not just are they a bully ball team, but they know they're a bully ball team. They lean into it. They embrace being a bully ball team. Or some of you have said, just old school hockey. And I don't think that's incorrect at all, to tell you the truth. And ordinarily, I would really not be a big fan of that. But there's something weird that keeps me invested. And part of it is the fact that I am a Florida kid. And I do think it very interesting and entertaining to repeatedly remind all of my Canadian buddies that Florida is hockey nation, all right? The capital of the hockey world is the state of Florida. You know, the Sunshine State, known for its wonderful tropical environment and beaches. Yeah, we're the hockey state now. Look at me. We're the hockey state now. And I do enjoy that. But there's something else about it. I've not been able to put my finger on it. Until over the weekend, when it dawned on me why it is that it's not just because I'm from Florida and I like antagonizing my Canadian friends by reminding them that, I don't really care that 80% of Florida's roster is made of Canadian guys. It's just the fact that we run hockey now. Between Tampa Bay and Florida, we run hockey. I figured it out. It is the fact that on the ice, for 60 minutes of hot hockey action, I can't stand this team. They're bully balls. They're annoying. They're aggressive. They're pokey, right? They're just going to keep poking and prodding until they get you to flip out. And that drives me up a wall because that's not the spirit of the game. Yes, even hockey, that's not the spirit of the game. It's the fact that they're likable off the ice, man. Matthew Tkachuk is the guy that made me realize this because I was watching game two and Tkachuk was playing that way. And that's not new for Matthew Tkachuk. I would point it out that during the Four Nations faceoff, when Matthew Tkachuk, the same guy that over the weekend, I was like, God, I can't stand the way this kid plays hockey. Played that same style of hockey for Team USA in the Four Nations faceoff. And I was in here every day for like a week and a half. Just going, Matthew Tkachuk's awesome. He is the definition of, yeah, he's a, but he's our. You know what I mean? That's Brad Marchand. Yeah, he's a, but he's our. Also, I got to figure out, make it where I can just do the quick beep. Anyway, not the point. The point to me, did I get it right? Yay, I can short beep now. The point here is that that's kind of Florida. And they've made it that away from the ice, they're likable. Because after the Four Nations face-off, a game in which in the gold, or a tournament in which in the gold medal game, both Tkachuk brothers, within 10 seconds of the opening face-off, both Tkachuk brothers were in the penalty box for fighting. I mean, puck hits ice, immediately followed by gloves hit ice, and then immediately followed by chiclets hit ice, because the boys were swinging for Team USA. If that was the other way around, I'd go, I hate that team. But when it happens for my team, I'm like, yeah, go my team. And then the Tkachuk bros started making their way onto the podcast. Matthew Tkachuk, for instance, was on the New Heights pod with the Kelsey bros. And we had like a solid number of audio clips in the audio blitz from Tkachuk talking hockey, talking life, whatever. He's a likable dude. There is one guy in the entire NHL that has been so dishonorable on the ice that he gets referenced by and only by his first name on this show. It is Brad. Brad Marchand's nickname in the hockey ranks is The Rat. They call him The Rat. Not because of how he looks, but because he plays. Yet you will remember that last week, Brad had a bite on this show during the audio blitz. Because Brad was asked, hey, Brad, did we see you eating a Dairy Queen Blizzard during a game intermission in the Stanley Cup playoffs? And Brad went, yeah, you did. It was cookie dough. There's a DQ like right by the hotel, so we just all grabbed one on the way here. That's likable. Because I bet if I said right now, hey, Zoe, I got a cookie dough blizzard for both of us in the freezer downstairs. Do you want to go grab them? Zoe's response would be like, yeah, BRB.
It'd be like now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Is it in game? Yeah. Do I care? Absolutely not. They're likable. And then there's Paul Maurice, the head coach of the Florida Panthers. Now, Paul Maurice has helped build this team. A team that went and got The Rat out of Boston. Added Brad Marchand. Why? So that he could teach the rest of a young roster how to play that style of hockey. And Paul got asked after game one, how is it that this team plays this way and is cool with it? And Paul Maurice gave what I think is a phenomenal answer about the difference in the chemistry on the ice and their personality off of it. I've never had an expression more apropos of me than. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. But more importantly, I love everything about that answer. I figured it out. I didn't figure it out. Paul Maurice figured it out for me. Why it is that even though they beat and eliminated a hockey team that I really wish was still alive, because as usual, called it. The minute the Canes were out, I lost like 90% of y'all's interaction about Stanley Cup hockey, which is too bad because it's a great sport. It's a great postseason. It's a great playoff series. And it is the most prestigious trophy in American professional sports. I stand on that. And I lost it when the Canes got eliminated. Yet, I'm still going to talk about it. A, because again, it's a wonderful postseason. It is the most prestigious trophy in American sports. And Florida's fun to watch. Even if I hate the way they play hockey, they're fun to watch. And I figured it out. And the answer is because all of those cats he just mentioned, Barkov, Bennett, Tkachuk, Brad, they're all players that if they were on the ice, they are the definition of that guy's a buddy's my. And we're okay with that. But more importantly, all of them, I think, have been absolutely spectacular at promoting the greatness of hockey away from hockey. When Tkachuk is on the New Heights pod with the Kelce Bros, Tkachuk, to me, did such a great job that I'd be willing to bet there were a few football bros that maybe weren't big hockey guys that listened to that. And I will say, a lot of it was credited to Jason and Travis because they're football bros and they have jumped in on hockey, right? Like, they're bros, but they've jumped in. But it takes a Tkachuk to welcome them, to open the door to the barn for them to feel like there's a place to get in. This is part of the reason I talk so much hockey on the show. Because if your only exposure to hockey is, you know, you watch SportsCenter for 10 minutes in the morning and like maybe they jump 2 minutes on you and you go, all right, whatever, I don't get it. But when the barn doors open and guys like Tkachuk, when Brad is going viral on Instagram because Brad, like us, one of us, acknowledges that, yeah, I may or may not have crushed a DQ cookies and cream McFlurry during an intermission. There's a lot of dudes that are going to be like, that's pretty cool. When Tkachuk is explaining to the Kelces, and he is excited about, and they are excited about, the fact that in order to rep the stars and stripes, he decided, I don't care what random Canadian they line across from me, that guy's getting punched in the face before we touch the puck. That guy's taking 5 to the chin. And the Kelce Bros are like, USA, you. There's going to be people that jump aboard. They welcome that. They want to see and find out more about it. And in my experience as a hockey bro, and I will acknowledge I am not a lifetime hockey bro, a lifelong hockey bro. My exposure took exposure to hockey. It was the now Pensacola Ice Flyers. They were back in the day the Pensacola Ice Pilots. It took a friend of mine in high school who was a hockey bro, an Air Force kid whose dad was from the Great White North, who they were down serving at Eglin Air Force Base, who said, hey, my family's a hockey family. We're going to a hockey game. Do you want to go? And I believe either freshman or high school in high school, freshman or sophomore in high school, Rob Brown said, yeah, why not? Get me out of the house for a night. Let's go. And within 20 minutes of hockey, with a hockey guy kind of laying out, here's what's happening and why, I was like, this sport's awesome. I will agree with the theory Lonzo had last week. It is way better in person than it is on TV. It's still real good on TV, especially these last two games. So I think part of the reason I'm in on Florida, even though they did eliminate the Canes, which hurts me as both a fan and a broadcaster, is because of what he just said, because of that mentality of, What a great take. What a great way to describe that team. They are a team that for 60 minutes between the boards, they are going to, pardon the expression, skate on a razor's edge of inappropriate, over the line, and illegal. And by illegal, sometimes I mean like criminally, as opposed to ethics of the sport. And the other half the time, I got Tkachuk and Brad and Sam Bennett and the rest of these guys out there being incredible ambassadors for a game that I have been trying to get you guys on board with for 4 or 5 years now. I think it's spectacular. I love that clip from Paul. I love that soundbite from Paul because it is maybe the most apt description of this hockey team that I have found yet. They play hard, they play mean, they play physical. Hell, sometimes they play cheap. But damn, they want to win the cup. And they're willing to play that way if that's what it takes. And Edmonton's choice in game number three as this series goes back to Sunrise, Florida. A terrible place to live, but a wonderful place to be a hockey fan. As it heads back to Sunrise, Edmonton gets to decide. Do we play physical and within the ethics of the game and try to knock them down? Do we buy in and try to beat up the guys who are bullies? Or do we not play physical and we let Florida skate away with the cup again in back-to-back years? I'm excited. I have no idea what Edmonton we're going to get. And because I have no idea what Edmonton we're going to get, I have no idea what Florida we're going to get. Game three tonight, 8 o'clock, is going to be, and I'm willing to stand on this, even with Super Regionals finishing up tonight, Duke and Murray State to determine the final spot in Omaha, even with Game 3 of the NBA Finals on Wednesday night, even, hell, with Game 4 of this series scheduled for Wednesday night, even with all of that being on the roster for the week, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if you're a sports bro, even if you're not a big hockey guy, Game 3 of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs tonight will be the most exciting product you will watch on television this week. I think it will be the most electric environment you will watch on TV. That includes going back to Indiana for Game 3 of the NBA Finals. I think it will be the most physical game of anything that you watch this week. And assuming, and I'm willing to assume, that we get ourselves another over three consecutive games, if it happens, three consecutive games that we go to overtime, best series start to a Stanley Cup Finals in a very long time. Hey, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. We'll talk some NBA Finals. Game one goes to the Thunder. What do the Pacers need to do in Game 3? We'll break that down next. Rob Alonso and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I was applying for this job, one of the things that I told the folks in charge to convince them to give it to me was the fact that over the years I have put great pride into developing and establishing relationships with sports teams within the market in which I was working. And that is, first off, it's true. But second off, it is something that I consider very important. One of those teams, obviously, is the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, who I've developed a wonderful relationship with everybody over there, from Tim Vieira, their president, on down. Of course, Mark Benetti, voice of the Rabbits during hockey season, joins us weekly on the show to break everything down. The head coaches that have been here over the years that I have been in charge have been kind with their time. We get players on. And we, ladies and gentlemen, are going to benefit from that relationship tomorrow, because over the weekend, the Greenville Swamp Rabbits announced that they have hired their new head coach. Unfortunately, after 1 year of service, Kyle Mountain was relieved of the duties of head coach, and we wish Kyle the best. Love Kyle. Kyle was fantastic as a guest on this show during his time as the HC. But unfortunately, a disappointing season result for the Bits last year. They decided to make a change. And over the weekend, it was announced that the Greenville Swamp Rabbits new head coach is a young cat by the name of Chad Costello. Yes, he's a Giga Chad. And Chad Costello will be announced as the new head coach officially in a press conference this late morning. It's at 11:30 at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena. Will make his first appearance as the acting HC and GM of the Swamp Rabbits of the GVL. Yeah. Tomorrow morning, Chad Costello will begin his tour of local media as the first-time head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. And that media tour will begin tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. right here on the Rob Brown Show. Chad Costello will do his first interview with media as the HC of the Swamp Rabbits tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. He will be joining us here in studio, which also means he'll be joining us live on the stream in the building to talk about it. Costello comes to the Upstate to begin his third season as a head coach, his fourth behind a bench in professional hockey. He was the associate head coach of the Rapid City Rush last year, led the team to an 18-10-3-1 record. The team averaged 3.6 goals per game when he was the associate head coach. He also helped the Rush finish the season at 20% on the power play that would propel them to become the ECHL franchise record in 11-game winning streak and overall 13-game point streak from February 1st to March 1st. That also included sweeps of the Utah Grizzlies and Maine Mariners. They got two sweeps of the Idaho Steelheads as well. Costello has been in a head coach role before that as well. He was the head coach and general manager of the Allen Americans for two seasons, reached the Kelly Cup playoffs in both campaigns, compiled a 70-67 5-2 record across 144 contests. In his first season, his American squad finished second in the Mountain Division, top five in both power play and penalty kill, and top 10 in the ECHL offensive rankings. Additionally, his team featured three of the league's top 10 scorers over those 2 years, including ECHL MVP and Rookie of the Year Hank Crone, who led the league with 105 points, trailed next by his teammate Jack Combs, who had 95 in that stretch. The 38-year-old will make his debut as the head coach of the Swamp Rabbits again today in his opening press conference. His first media interview will be tomorrow here on the Rob Brown Show at 8 o'clock. So make sure you're here for that if you are a hockey fan. Listen, if you're not a hockey fan, and I don't mean to do back-to-back hockey segments, but yes, I do. Even if you're not a hockey fan, I have found that the easiest time to jump into a thing is when that thing is doing a reboot, right? Like if you're a video game guy, sometimes a video game will do a reboot. Oh, we're going back to our roots. Sometimes a TV show will hit a season finale and they're like, all right, we're going to go back to the basics for the next season. That's the easiest time to jump in. Jumping into something that is established and with a history as long as the game of hockey. If you weren't brought up and grown up and raised into it, it can be very daunting and overwhelming, especially when you were an adult, to jump into a new thing. The Greenville Swamp Rabbits are going to be your launching point for this. It's a reboot, all right? Season last year did not go the way that they wanted it to. There were playoff aspirations. There were potential dreams of grabbing another championship. You had a lot of vets coming back last year. You also had a lot of young cats making their professional hockey debuts last year. There were a lot of high goals last year, and unfortunately, it was just not the year that the Bunnies wanted to have. So it's reboot time. And I will tell you, as somebody who has a very close working relationship with the upper admin of that team and that team itself, this Greenville Swamp Rabbit team is fully bought in. And again, I'm not blowing smoke because they're here. I was critical of the Bunnies all the way up through the end of last year. I will do it when it is required. That is the job. I will tell you from my conversations that I have had with this team, I will tell you with my conversations I have had both in front of the microphone with Bonetti, behind the scenes with Timmy V and some of the other folks in the front office up there. This team understands that last year was not what they wanted it to be. They did not reach the goals they set for themselves on the ice. And there is a total and complete commitment to revamping that and getting that fixed this year. And bringing in Chad Costello, this is a spot for a lot of teams that a lot of teams would hire cheap. All right, let's just call a spade a spade. Welcome to sports. It's not unusual. A lot of teams would hire cheap. A lot of teams would just go pull some guy that they could convince to come down here and work on a nobody contract and understand, all right, it's going to take a year or two to revamp the roster, to turn over some of the old guys that maybe didn't reach their potential last year, to develop some of the young guys to help them get where they need to be and learn the ropes of professional hockey, how to travel, how to get paid, how to live in an apartment in a city that you're maybe not from, speaking a language that maybe is a second or third language to you, whatever. A lot of teams, I think, in a spot like the Bunnies were in, would hire cheap for their next head coach. Would say, we just want a guy to get us through next year that we don't have to pay a lot of money to, that we can just say, hey, come in, teach the kids how to be a hockey player, and then the year after that, we'll go find a good hockey coach. And that's not what this team has done. Going and grabbing Chad and getting him out of a job to bring him here. A guy that has experience, because Chad Costello played almost 800 games across the ECHL, AHL, IHL, and CHL across North America, played a handful of games in the DEL, the Deutschland League in Germany, also played in Norway, 919 career points, turned in a pair of college seasons with Northeastern University at the NCAA level. Like, the guy has played a lot of hockey. He has also coached a lot of hockey, and he has succeeded everywhere he's been. This is a home run swing of a hire. Is it going to be a home run? We're going to find out in a year or two of the regime. But what I will say is this, and this is, again, with all due respect, because I loved Kyle Mountain, great dude, phenomenal interview, was always fun to have on the air, but the results just weren't there. Kyle Mountain was a guy who came up under Andrew Lord. Andrew Lord obviously had a really successful run at the helm of the Bunnies, a successful enough run that he got called up to Ontario to go coach a couple of leagues up. Bringing in Mounty was a, hey, everything's been going well. Let's see if we can bring in a guy to do the same thing that we've been doing. But that sometimes that works under that coaching tree philosophy, right? Well, he did it under Lord. He cut his teeth under Lord. Maybe he can roll on with the Lordo way of running the team. But two guys ain't the same guy. So there's going to be some tinkering with philosophy. He's going to say, like 80% of what Lordo did, 20% I don't, I'm going to change it. And sometimes those little 20% variables, are enough to derail the 80% of what was going right. And I do think there was a little bit of that shined in the Bunnies' disappointing season last year. So you say, all right, let's go get a guy who has been doing his own thing, that is different, separate, and new from what we did last year that did not work, a guy that's had a bunch of success, and let's make sure we put the resources and the compensation on the table that he will leave a job he's in to come here. That's what the Rabbits did. That is part of the reason that I feel comfortable saying this team is recommitted to starting this whole thing over again. This team is recommitted to saying, let's boil this thing down, let's cook it from the bottom, and let's see what we can build on top of the foundation instead of the other way around of the foundation's there and the house is there. Let's play with the systems inside of it. No. Let's start this thing over. And I think this is a fantastic opportunity for a franchise reboot for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits heading into the 2025 season just a few months away. So if you're a new to hockey guy, or maybe you've heard Rob Brown talking about hockey and you're like, all right, Rob loves it and he knows ball, so obviously there's something here. And you've never been in the hockey game before? Check out the bits, man. I think that there is an opportunity for this team under their new head coach, Chad Costello, to be something special next year. And again, if you missed it, his intro press conference today at 11:30, if you missed that, worry not. Chad Costello will make his first interview as the head coach of the Bunnies tomorrow morning on this very radio program at 8 a.m. Let's take a break. We'll come back here in a minute. We will talk NBA Finals next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Thank you.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk NBA Finals for just a couple of minutes here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. 123-107 Thunder total team effort to dominate the Indiana Pacers. But a couple of numbers, a couple of stats, I guess I should say, that I find interesting. By the way, we're gonna knock out about four different topics here in this segment before we ask what the X is going on and call it a day. We'll start with this one. 123-107 said coming into the series, Pacers are a dog and the Pacers can win this series. It'll take them either six or seven, but they can do it. And there were two or three things that I jumped on as my reasoning why. First thing was, Pacers have to split 1-1 on the road to start. They cannot dump an 0-2 lead to the Thunder and win this series. They did that. Mission accomplished, step one. Second thing, coaching was going to have to be a big part of that. Now, in order for the coaching to come into play, the Indiana Pacers were going to have to execute. They were going to have to be smart. They were going to have to be efficient. They were going to have to shoot well. There could not be a night where they shot less than like 47-48%. They were going to have to be good shot selection and make the shots. That was going to be a big part of it. And number three was every single game the bench had to be better. The bench just had to be better. And that's tough. The Thunder have a good bench. Alex Caruso has been a bit of a monster coming off the bench for these playoffs for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So the bench for the Pacers was going to have a challenge. It was going to have to be better. In game one, the bench was better. In game one, the bench was better. In game one, the shot selection, they were over 50%. In game one, despite the fact that there were 19 turnovers in the first half, there were only 24 in the game. They had five turnovers in the second half of that game. They were just better. In night number two, different story. The Thunder bench was just better. There were only 15 turnovers for the Pacers. The problem was the bench didn't win. And so when the starters were out there, which would have to overcome, you know, SGA is going to give you 30 to 40 a game. That's just what he does. You're going to have to equalize his 34 with the rest of your dudes, because Dort's only going to give you 3 to 7 points. Kayson Wallace, who has moved into a starting role for the series, he did not start a game until they got to the NBA Finals. You knew that Kayson Wallace was going to be good for probably 20 to 25 minutes and a handful of points. He gave you, I think he had four last night. Knowing that those two guys were going to be more defensive assets than offensive assets, the Pacers were going to have to overcome SGA, Jalen Williams, and Chet Holmgren with their starters, and then the bench would have to be better in order to equalize. Well, last night, Tyrese had 17, Nembhard had 11, Turner had 16, Nesmith had 14, Pascal Siakam had 15. That's what I want out of the starters. Everybody's in double digits. I'd like to see Tyrese probably get closer to like 22, 23 a game and also pitch in 10 assists. He had six last night. Now, the 10 assists per win rule for Tyrese got blown out of the water in game one. I think he had only, if I recall correctly, 8 assists in game one. But he also had 24, 22, whatever points he had in game one. So it's not even really about the Halliburton assists. That's a huge part of it, right? This is a different game. If we give Tyrese 6 more assists, there's 12 more points. Okay, we got a game on our hands now. So I still think it is important. but it is about the bench. Obi Toppin, who had been giving me 16 off the bench, gave me 3 last night. Mathurin, who had been giving me 15, 16, 18, gave me 14 last night. The bench just didn't do its part. Now, this is not the first time this has happened to the Pacers. I pointed out earlier in the hour. This team, and this is why I'm not pushing the panic button after a game 2 loss, because this team has lost one game by 15 or more points in every series of this postseason so far. They lost by 15 to Milwaukee. They won that series 4-1. They lost by 15 to Cleveland. They won that series 4-1. They lost by 15 to the Knicks. They won that series 4-2. I'm not panicking. Now, the Pacers, I would argue, were a better basketball team than all three. Would we say that there is a clear talent advantage over the Bucks? With Dame Lillard out because he got hurt? Probably. Would we say that there is a clear on-paper talent advantage over the Cavs? Honestly, I wouldn't say yes to that. I'd say it's two pretty equal teams. The disparity there that allowed them to win that series so convincingly was Rick Carlisle, who was the clear advantage on the bench as a head coach. Was there a talent favor for the Pacers in series in the conference finals against the Knicks? No, there was not. At the best, I would say that was level series. Honestly, I could make the argument that the Knicks have a little bit more talent on paper. I don't think it's true, but I can make the argument, okay? They won that series again because Rick Carlisle had a deeper bench, and because while I do think Tom Thibodeau is a good coach, he's also a better coach than Tom Thibodeau. That's not an insult to Thibodeau. I think Rick Carlisle is the best coach in the NBA right now. With the loss of Greg Popovich, I think Rick Carlisle is the best coach in the league. So you have all those advantages going for you. Is last night the Pacers didn't execute. Too many dumb moments. They didn't. Rebound battle was what won them game 1, too. They had 56 boards in game 1. They had last night, if I recall correctly, 35. So you're talking a difference of 21 rebounds. If half of those turn into points, we got a game again, right? So I think that Carlisle had the game plan. I just think the boys didn't execute it in the critical spots, A. And B, I also think in the fourth quarter, Tyrese Halliburton was drawing a lot of doubles, and the guys coming off the bench in support of Tyrese Halliburton weren't giving him the options they did back in game 1. A credit to the Oklahoma City Thunder defense, but I don't think Tyrese had the outs like he did. Will they in game 3? We'll find out. That's the determining factor. But the Thunder feel themselves a little bit. I'm not saying game 3 is must win for the Pacers. If they lose game 3, game 4 is must win. They cannot do worse than split this series 1-1. It would behoove them to win game 3 to basically get the Thunder going, okay, we're not them. Like, they're good. We're going to have to play our best and kind of get into their heads a little bit. We'll see if that plays out. Speaking of Tom Thibodeau, segment number 2 I want to do in our mini segment run here. You know who is becoming the topic of conversation about being the next head coach of the New York Knicks? Jason Kidd. You know where Jason Kidd is right now? You know who he's the head coach of right now? The Dallas Mavericks. And he's done a pretty good job. Now, you could make the argument that he's done a pretty good job because he's had Luka Doncic on that team. I don't care about that. Jason Kidd's been a pretty good acting head coach for the Dallas Mavericks. And now, the rumor is he is the front runner to become the head coach of the New York Knicks. Why would that happen? Because he doesn't have Luka Doncic anymore. This is, remember when we said, even if they did get Anthony Davis.
He has Anthony Davis. So, I mean,
that's the same.
You know, it's apparently.
Traded a generational superstar for a 30-plus-year-old guy who can't stay healthy. That's the same. When that trade got made, and everybody said, wait a minute, Rob, they ended up with the number 1 overall draft pick for the next season, and they ended up with a bunch of good players that they can build around that guy, no matter who it ends up being, even if it is Cooper Flagg, yada, yada, yada. I said at the time, when your ownership group doesn't care, when they are more invested in their own ego and the bottom dollar than they are making the team successful, there's a bunch of unintended consequences that come with that. One of those unintended consequences is that your head coach is apparently openly flirting with another team. The reason for him openly flirting with another team is because you, without his question or without his word of approval, traded away the centerpiece of his team, and you did so to bring in a guy that the Lakers went, yeah, no, we're good. We're good without this guy. We're good moving this guy who has been on this team for a couple of years now. We're good moving on from this guy to get Dallas Luka Doncic. So Jason Kidd's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Because what happens if Cooper Flagg comes in and is an absolute star? Are you just going to trade him away again? The answer is possibly yes. All right, last one I want to get to before we ask what the X is going on. The Braves drop all three to the San Francisco Giants, including a Friday nighter where they held a lead in the bottom of the ninth inning, a Saturday game where they held a lead in the bottom of the ninth inning, and a Sunday game where they had a lead in the fourth inning but then stopped hitting the baseball for the rest of the day. Braves fans, the season is lost. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. And I'll break this down a little bit more in detail yesterday, but we do have two final series I wanted to spend time on today. This season is lost, and I need you to all mentally prepare yourselves. And I need you to mentally prepare yourselves because the Atlanta Braves are now trade deadline sellers. Okay? I am going to wager Chris Sale will not be an Atlanta Brave at the end of this year. I am going to wager Marcell Ozuna will not be a Braves by the end of this year. I will wager that the only names that are safe on this team are Austin Riley, I think is safe. Spencer Strider, I think is safe. Drake Baldwin, who, if he gets more playing time, is going to be the rookie of the year, at least on the National League side, is safe. Maybe Matt Olson is safe, but that's more about the fact that nobody's going to want to take on his contract. So unless the Braves are giving him and some compensation, I think he's gone. I think the Braves team at the end of the year is going to be a very different Braves team than you're watching right now. Because you're sellers. The season's over. The Phillies are in a slump. This is a spot, right? We said what? I said, if you end up in a double-digit hole to Philadelphia, it doesn't matter if they go into a slump. You will be too far back to catch up. The Philadelphia Phillies went into a slump with the Braves hanging around 10.5, 11.5 back. And in a spot where the Braves should have gone on a run to catch up, they are also in a slump. They have now dropped, 14 out of their last 16 games, including three at the Giants, two of which they held a lead in the bottom of the ninth and one in which they held a lead and then stopped hitting the baseball. The team is over. The season is over. Not just is this season over, your championship window has shut, slammed shut. All the guys who are players, with the exception of Strider, Riley, Olson, Baldwin, and that might be the list. Ronnie, so five, everybody else is trade bait. This team will be a team made up of those five guys and a bunch of rookies. By the end of this year, it is rebuild time for the Atlanta Barves.
Wow. not even panic in your voice.
It's over.
Okay.
You are panicked in the fifth round when the guys hit you on the chin five or six times and you're staggering. Once you've been knocked to the canvas and there's a 10 count and the bell's rung, there's no point in panicking. The fight's over.
Well, you're also asleep at that moment.
The fight's over.
All right. The first thing is Xing is Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb is Xing because Nick Chubb, who is a free agent, is apparently on his way to, I saw it earlier, it was one of the Texas teams. Was it Dallas or Houston? Houston? Was on his way to Houston. The rumor right now that Nick Chubb will be joining the Houston Texans. That's a good pickup, and I'll tell you why. It's not because of the addition to the rush game. I went and looked because we were talking NFL win totals last Friday night when I was filling in on BetMGM Tonight, and somebody pointed out that the Houston Texans, as of today, based on stats from the last couple of years after the moves, after they moved on from Laremy Tunsil, the Houston Texans have the 29th best offensive line in the NFL this year. So the thought of a C.J. Stroud bounce back may not happen, not because of C.J. Stroud, but because as of right now, they have the worst, second or third worst offensive line in the league. Nick Chubb's a big, thick, meaty man blocking back. That's why he's going there, to help keep C.J. Stroud alive.
Yeah, that's a good thing. All right, the next thing is Xing is Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox, I think he's Xing. I don't know this for sure. is because a phenomenal television show called Shrinking is about to go season 3, and Michael J. Fox has been added to the roster. Harrison Ford's on it. Marshall from How I Met Your Mother. Jason Segel is the star of that. There's a lot of other big names in it. It is a fan-damn-tastic television show. If you haven't watched it yet, I highly suggest it's a very feel-good, but also kind of dial in on some tough aspects of humanity. But Michael J. Fox has been added as an actor for season 3, and I got to tell you, I'm pretty excited about it.
All right, that's not why he's excellent. Oh, okay. Today is his birthday.
Happy birthday, Michael J. Fox, you absolute icon of stage and screen.
He is 64. All right, the next thing.
God!
I know.
I am not okay!
Yeah, I kind of watched him when I was a kid. So, anyway.
Yeah, me too. And he was already in his 20s.
All right, the next thing that's exciting is Jair Alexander.
Jair Alexander is trending because the Green Bay Packers, a couple of months ago, had mentioned that they were looking for a trade partner for Jair Alexander, but they were also going to cut him if they didn't find one. Well, the rest of the NFL has decided to roll the dice, and Jair Alexander is going to be cut and available. You know who a really good landing spot for Jair Alexander would be? Carolina Panthers. They have the cap room. They need DB help, and this guy's been a stud. Go get him, Dan.
He's also from North Carolina.
And he's also from the Carolinas.
So
go get him, Dan!
All right. The next thing that's X-ing is Natalie Portman.
I don't know why Natalie Portman is X-ing. But I have a guess, because there's a meme going around right now about Natalie Portman. And I only know that because literally Diesel sent it to me this morning. The meme in question is that Natalie Portman, Padme, was actually the bad guy in the trilogy. Why? Because there's a scene where Padme tells Anakin, "We can't be together." And she elects to wear this outfit when she tells him,
we can't
be together.
I saw that last week.
Yeah. And it's the first time that I've heard that theory, but then I saw that picture and I'm like, it's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point. That's not a breakup outfit, Padme.
Her and Jar Jar are, you know, blaming on Naboo. I also guess.
Blame Jar Jar Binks is absolutely a Sith Lord.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Blame it on Naboo.
Yeah.
All the evil came from there. All right, Dean. It's her birthday, by the way.
She's definitely not 68.
Neither was Michael J. Fox. He was only 64. She is 44.
I was going to say, she's only slightly older than me.
Just a little bit older than you. The next thing that's X-ing is Liv Morgan.
I'm not going to lie. I have not watched any wrestling since last Monday.
That's not why. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you it's her birthday also.
What a birthday.
It was yesterday, but I don't want to miss it.
That's
her birthday because it's Liv Morgan.
That's fair.
She's awesome. She is 31 years old. And finally, the last thing that's X-ing is Jey Uso.
Yeet! Jey Uso is, I got to tell you. I've come around. I was really high on Jay, and then he won the belt, and I was really low on Jay, and now I'm turning back around to really high on Jay.
Right,
granted, matches are still very mid, but that's not what being a good wrestler is about.
Well, let me just tell you, the main reason why he is X-ing right now is the belt's on the line tonight against friend of the show, Gunther.
We're getting a Monday Night Raw championship match?
Yeah, they've been talking about it for a while, so yes.
So now I got to watch 10 hours of wrestling between now and tonight.
Good luck.
Is the Rob Brown Show bump in play tonight for Gunther? He's already used his bump. He may not get another bump. By the way, speaking of that, Raja Karuth got his truck win. So the Rob Brown Show is in play for him. That's it for us. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, it's your own fault. You got a bad taste in radio. Come back tomorrow. We'll try again and do better. For Alonzo, I'm Rob. Have a great rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later. James, everyone in Cleveland has...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.